How long can hate and terrorism last? Well, a long time, it appears. Hi, this is Phil Gursky, President and CEO of Borealis Threat and Risk Consulting in Russell, Ontario, Canada, and you're listening to Quick Hits, short podcasts about national security. I recall decades ago reading a comic by Gary Trudeau, who of course is the author and artist behind Doonesbury, a comic that's been around for 50 years, I think. Quite an interesting political satire cartoon. And this was during the Yugoslav Civil War of the early 90s. This is the post, East Bloc breakup of the Soviet Union, the Warsaw Pact. And Yugoslavia went through a very, very bad phase in the early 90s. I'm sure we all remember the war in Bosnia, the attacks on civilians, the rape camps, etc., etc. In this cartoon that I recall, and I can't find it, I'd be curious if one of my listeners can point me in the right direction. One of the Doonesbury characters, I think it's the journalist, I forget his name, is sitting in the back of a cab somewhere in the former Yugoslavia, and he's listening to the cab driver rail on about how a Serb family denigrated, insulted, whatever, his Croat family, or maybe it's the other way around, and he's not going to stand for it anymore. And the Doonesbury character asks, innocently, curious, when did this happen? And the taxi driver says, in 1348. Obviously being very facetious, but I think the point of the cartoon was that the fraught relations between the Serbs and the Croats goes back a very, very long way. And as someone growing up in London, Ontario, in the 1960s and 70s, we knew never to go to a particular soccer field in downtown Cor when the Serbs and Croats were playing, so local Canadian Serbs and local Canadian Croats, because inevitably the knives would come out. That was just the message we were given. Why am I talking about this in a podcast on extremism? Well, I came across a story a little while ago. The date's from 2020, but it really points out something which is significant. This is a story about the French, about France, and there's an 18-year-old man who was born in Pakistan. He entered France in 2018 under a false identity, and he attacked a bunch of people in France. And it turned out that in a video that he posted online before the attack, that he was avenging the caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad by the satirical weekly Charlie Hebdo. So he felt that Islam had been insulted. He wanted to get back at this particular newspaper. And as it turned out, two employees of a TV production agency whose offices are on the same block that used to be the home of Charlie Hebdo were in fact wounded. But Charlie Hebdo's not there anymore. For those who forgot, the Charlie Hebdo cartoons that were perceived by some as an insult against Islam were published in 2006. And this guy carried out his attack in 2020. We all remember, in fact, the attacks against Charlie Hebdo that took place in 2015. It was an incredibly brutal attack by two French-born brothers who were both Algerians. They killed 11 people inside using automatic gunfire. And basically, their whole raison d'être was to punish Charlie Hebdo for, in fact, the publication of these cartoons. And this has made me kind of think. We talk a lot about threat. We talk a lot about how long threats survive, how long they're predominant, how long people can garner and nourish these feelings of hatred. And when it comes to Islamist extremism, the unfortunate answer is it can last a long time. You may recall that last fall? This was, it just took place in the United States in August, actually, of last year, 2020. So less than a year ago, Salman Rushdie, very famous international author, was giving a public lecture or about to give a public lecture in the United States, and a guy rushed the stage and stabbed Salman Rushdie multiple times. I believe he lost an eye in the end when all was said and done. So very serious injuries. why would someone attack Salman Rushdie giving a public talk in 2022? Well, as it turns out, there's some evidence, some information to suggest that the attacker was pissed off about what Salman Rushdie had written in 1989, which was 33 years before the attack took place. This, of course, was the Satanic Verses, which was roundly criticized by many in the Islamic world. Ayatollah Khomeini, then the Supreme Leader of Iran, issued a so-called fatwa calling for his assassination. A Japanese translator translated the book, was stabbed in 91. He was killed. Another Italian translator was stabbed multiple times in 1991. The point I'm trying to get here is that when it comes to this form of particular violence, in this case, Islamist terrorism, memories are long. And people who are deemed to have insulted or done something against the very narrow interpretation of Islam, which jihadis happen to profess, they're on the hook forever. In other words, they're never truly safe. I'm sure Salman Rushdie never thought that he'd be attacked in August of 2022, 33 years later, after he published Satanic Verses. He already was suffered much in the early 90s when he had to go into hiding and receive police protection, but for a guy to stab him that long after really makes you wonder about whether or not terrorism as a phenomenon, and more narrowly Islamist terrorism, can ever be accurately said to have ended. Is it ever really over? And the answer is no. Despite the fact that if you're living here in Canada, no one talks about Islamist terrorism anymore. It seems to be yesterday's threat. It's treated as a lesser priority. It's all about the far right. It's all about violent incels, et cetera, et cetera. Despite the fact that on a global scale, as I've said far too many times, and I apologize for being more and more repetitive, more than 99.9% of all attacks globally are still carried out by jihadis, Islamist extremists. These people have long memories. And their perception that they need to achieve some kind of justice or mete out some kind of punishment against those who they perceive as the enemies of Islam, which is a very long list, by the way. It's not just Salman Rushdie and Charlie Hebdo. It's basically everybody that doesn't include them. They see other Muslims, especially Shia Muslims, but average Muslims as enemies. They see Christians, the West, the Chinese government because of its treatment of Uyghurs, the Russian government because of its actions in places like Chechnya and Central Asia. The list goes on and on and on and on. And the lesson we should draw from this is that when we try to assess the level of threat, we're being called upon to determine exactly how worried should we be. And there's no question that at least we here in the West don't see the pace of attacks that we have in recent years, perhaps going back to the early 2010s, but it hasn't gone away. And I think when you work in law enforcement, security, intelligence, this has to be at the back of your mind, that whatever the public is saying, whatever your government minders are saying, you're there to assess threat and put in place resources to try and stop it from manifesting itself. In other words, you want attacks to be stopped, not mop up afterwards. And given this very long memory that jihadists seem to relish in, you have to always consider the possibility that in your country, yes, including Canada, that people will carry out, or rather plan attacks, hopefully they're being foiled by law enforcement and security, they will plan attacks to punish people for things done a long time ago, just like that taxi driver in the Doonesbury comic. They hold on to very, very long memories, and they don't forget. Bottom line is that this puts an enormous amount of pressure on our security services and law enforcement agencies because they have to look at all things simultaneously with limited resources. But the last thing I want to leave you with is that Islamist terrorism is not dead, guys. If you think it is, you're not reading the same sources that I have. I'm not saying the threat is nearly as ubiquitous as it once was, but it's there. And the bad news is it ain't going away. Anyhow, that's what I think. I'm curious what you think about the longevity of terrorist threats. Love to hear your feedback. You can reach me on email, borealisrisk@gmail.com, or on Twitter @borealisaves. You can also find me on LinkedIn and on Facebook. If you like the content, want to get more, go to the website, borealisfrentenhurst.com. Hit the subscribe button. You get free podcasts and blogs. You can read and listen to as many as you want. Love to hear what you think about this and other matters I've got. Maybe some ideas for future podcasts. We'll talk again soon. Until then, stay safe.